Welcome to the Purple Talk podcast here on NBC Sports California. We're going global. Doug Christie is joining us, but also Mr. Jack Cooley. Captain Jack, what's going on, dude?
Not much, man. Glad to be here. Glad we could find a time with the 16-hour time difference that worked for everybody.
Yeah, it's a little tough, man. So you're just finished up with your season in Japan. But are you just kind of stuck there at this point because of all the travel bans and all of the lack of mobility?
Not as much stuck, more so. It's just right now in Okinawa where I am, it's a beautiful tropical island. It's like the Hawaii of Japan. And wow. Where I live is Chicago, and it snowed yesterday. So I could go home if I wanted to. It's just things are so much more relaxed here too, and there's no run on toilet paper or anything. We're allowed to go outside, so I'm just gonna feel it out and stay here until, for the foreseeable future.
How do you like playing over there? I mean, what's the difference? Kind of give us the lay of the land when you run out on the court in Japan.
Well, it's different because the first thing is there's a few differences, but the first things are you're only allowed two non-Japanese players on the team. Okay. So on the court at all times, you'll usually have two Americans and then three Japanese players, and the Japanese players or Japanese people in general usually not the tallest. So most of the foreigners are big men. So then it's just big men playing big men. So it's weird because the level overall isn't the highest, but you're going against other really good big men. So for me, it's just such a weird vibe how it works, where I'm playing against the good player, but the overall quality is good, but it's just different.
Yeah.
Who's the biggest, I guess, the best big man that you played against while you've been over there?
Some more notable names. Ryan Kelly's here. Jeff Ayers is here. One of my good friends, David Simon, he's one of the leading scorers in the league here. Devontae Gardner is one of the leading scorers in the league here. So it's just some, like, big men that you've, like, are in the back of your mind. They're like, oh, yeah, he was good. And then they come to Japan. Just it's such good living here. It's better than anywhere I've played outside of the NBA. It's so nice in Japan.
Is it nice because of the area, how they treat you? I had a buddy that was in college, Dana Jones, that played at Pepperdine, and he went to Japan and played. And he actually had a job, and he also played basketball. Mm-hmm. Is it still that way?
Yeah. I mean, another thing I was going to say is Japanese people are so unbelievably nice that, like, they never boo. Not one time do they ever boo. They always cheer. It's wild. I've never seen anything like it. They like cheer for both teams. Everything's so happy. And just that's the way the vibe is here. Because Alexandra went home for Christmas. And then it's not that people back home were being mean. They just weren't being like Japan nice. So she was just like, wow, this is so weird. Because you just get used to it, how nice everybody is here. And it's a different vibe.
Now, like Doug talked about jobs, I mean, like, it seems like you would be really good at a bunch of jobs there. Like, you could change, like, light bulbs yeah. without needing a step stool. Like, you could do a lot of things that you know, shorter individuals can't do there. You could clean gutters. I mean, there are a lot of things you could do.
Yeah, I could hang telephone poles. It's all good stuff. But, yeah, it's just strange because the league only has, like, maybe like six Japanese big men that are over 6'6", and they're all on the top tier teams. So it's interesting to see.
When you look at the level of Japanese play, now we have everything that's going on with coronavirus. How's the vibe? Are they trying to bring everything back, or are they kind of on hold like the rest of the world?
Yeah, we're going to try to push through the league and continue to play. And the league did a lot of really good things because we played a weekend. So here in Japan, you play Saturday, Sunday, every weekend at least. And then sometimes you have a Wednesday game. And there was a 3-week stretch where we had Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday. And but one of the games they tried was on the weekend. It was a Saturday, Sunday, and they had no fans. And they did the way that the NBA wants to try to propose it. And we played back-to-back games with no fans. And the league also had everyone do personal checks. You took your temperature every morning. They gave you a physical check. to make sure everybody that was associated with the team was okay to play in this game.
Right.
So I was okay with it. I was like, whatever, I want to play. They say it's safe, yeah. I'm going to go. But some guys, some of the other Americans were not as okay with it and kind of got a little ignorant.
Really?
You know, I've been used to playing in Europe. You know, I'm used to just playing in any circumstances. So I'm like, screw it, let's just go play. And so it was fun. I played very, very well in those two games, actually, too. So it was very fun.
What kind of numbers do you put up in Japan? Just like, you're still dominating, right?
Yeah, I led the league in rebounding. I think it was, 13.3 a game? And scoring was like, I was eighth, ninth. I think it was at like 19 per game. So 19 and 13.3.
You know, I was wondering, I mean, you played in Italy last year. You played in, the Bundesliga, right? Mm-hmm. Where have you played? Why don't you just rattle off where you've played?
So the first year is a nice – I've taken a nice test of everywhere. The first year out, I played in Turkey, in Trabzon, a small city out in Turkey. And then the next year I played in Utah in the G League. And then after that I went to Spain and I played in the ACB and Euro League. And then after that I went to the Bundesliga. I went to Germany. And then after that was with you guys back in good old Sacramento. And then Italy. And then now I'm in Japan.
Have you reached out to any of your people? Have you reached out to anybody in Italy that you played with just to check in and see how everybody's doing there? Cause it's just brutal there.
Yeah. It's really bad. And I have reached out. We still have the group chat from last year and I reached out to each of them individually and asked, and luckily, knock on wood, all their families are all right. And knock on wood, we're all young, high caliber athletes. So we're not the target group, but as the whole point of this isolation things, that's not the reason we're doing this. It's for the people who aren't okay. So they're luckily, everyone's okay and they're doing well and healthy. They're bored out of their minds, but you know, they're doing well.
What's the Jack Cooley in-house workout that keeps you in such top physical performance shape?
It had been nothing lately, and which was bad. So then I needed to today I went, since we're on the beach and the beaches aren't closed, I do a nice awful beach workout. I woke up early and did that today, and it's terrible. It's
you
I don't
got
know
it
why
tough
I do it.
Man,
but the funny yeah, I know, but the funny thing is, like, the beaches and the parks aren't closed, so I'm working out, I have my headphones in, I'm looking at the ocean, I'm doing it, and I turn around, there's like 10-15 people that are fans of the team just watching. They were properly spaced next to each other. Okay. They were like 6 feet apart. But like, it was just so funny. I just turned it, just all with masks on, watching, lined up. And I was like, oh. But it stuck because I couldn't take breaks because I didn't want them to think I was weak or out of shape. So I had to just rip through the whole workout.
Attaboy.
Now, Jack, you talk about that. I assume they're Jack Cooley fans. How is it, do you think, that you've been able to become like this cult hero for basketball fans? I mean, I watched the other day, you just had a birthday, and you must have got, I didn't look how many, but every single person that I know from Sacramento was in your timeline wishing you a happy birthday. It's just, you've been able to capture the imagination of people or something. I'm not, what do you think it is that has made you, you know, really like this cult hero amongst basketball people?
I don't know. That's a good question. I've been asked that a lot. And it's just, I think that, as you know, I've played summer league 7 years. Like, I've done all these little things. And I think that the point of never trying to make it look like and lie like I'm bigger than anybody else. I'm just some dude that just tries his face off every single time I go out there, and just, you know, everybody really appreciates that. I think respects that. And just, I don't know. I also make time for a lot of the fans. Like, I play like video games with a lot of the diehard Kings fans that are always the top tweeters and things like that. And I don't know if you saw this, but Vince Carter tweeted me happy birthday, and we are friends and talk often, but like,
wow,
that was pretty sick.
Hey,
that is pretty sick.
I know, because after I tweeted the thing, he's like, you're an idiot. He texted me and I'm like, thanks, man.
You should have said, well, you're retired.
Yeah, that's just, Yeah.
So Jack, how do you end up at Notre Dame? I mean, coming out of high school, was that just like a love of yours? That's some place that you wanted to go, or?
Well, it was what's funny is you say that, and still at my parents' house back home, I have a closet full of U of I stuff. Like, I have a James Augustine jersey. Like, I have all this stuff. So then, but the thing was, Illinois, when we were recruiting them, when we were getting recruited, they didn't really, weren't as interested in stuff. So when Notre Dame came on the table, we didn't even think it was an option until they just came to one of my games and were like, hey, we're interested. And you don't say no to Notre Dame. Like, it's just like, you just can't. Because I remember I played really well. Coach Bray came. And then I went upstairs to talk to Coach, called me and said, we'd like to offer you a scholarship, blah, blah, blah. And I come downstairs and my parents are already watching Rudy as I'm coming downstairs.
Epic, dude. Epic.
They didn't own it. They went to Family Video and rented it while I was upstairs and had it playing for me when I came down. Because it was just nuts. It was just so exciting. And it was the best, one of the best decisions. Other than this pretty lady sitting over there, it was one of the best decisions I've made in my life. So I'm very happy with how it went.
Sure, you outkicked your coverage over there, but well done, sir. Well done.
Thank you. Yeah.
So, you know, you spend your time at Notre Dame. Just like, how do you go transition from, you know, really being an NCAA like beast, then to just extending this career? I mean, you just keep playing. That's what I love. It's like, look, is there ever going to come a time where you're like, okay, no. I mean, have sneakers will travel, right?
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is I went to Notre Dame, and when I got the scholarship, I was like, all right, like, I'm going to get an amazing education. Like, basketball's taking me very far. This is cool. Like, I'm going to obviously try my best when I'm there, but the key here is education, and I'm going to prioritize that. And then when I was done, I mean, like, my junior year, I started playing really well, and my senior year, I played really well, and I was like, because that's just what we needed to do to win. I needed to play well. So I was like, all right, that's what I'll do. And then when I was done, or after, it really started after my junior year, Mike Bray was like, hey, you can put your name into the draft and see what they say and then pull it right back out. Coach Bray was smart. He was not losing me. He had the paper to sign to go into the draft, and he had the paper to come back out, and I signed both of them at the same time. Coach was not letting me leave. And I was like, why should I do this? And Coach was like, why should you do this? Why are you asking me? You should be the one asking me you want to do this. And I was like, well, I'm coming back. He goes, oh, I know. And then I got that. And that's when I got the feedback. They're like early second to late first. And I was like, early second to late in what? Like the draft? And they're like, yeah. So I was like, oh, okay. And then since I stayed an extra year, you know, when you get older, and that draft, actually the 2013 draft, had so many trades at the end that they just, every team was just default button to picking guys that go stash and never see again. So, but yeah, I mean, I get paid to play basketball. I'm going to keep doing this as long as people keep paying me, you know, it's a game.
No doubt. So,
and I always love it. And I mean, I'll keep doing it till I don't love it. And if, as long as that, I don't ever see that happening. So I'm not too worried about it.
You know, Jack, playing in the NBA is fantastic. It's a dream. But I would say, even for myself, probably one regret is not going and seeing the world at some time. Have you had the type of fun going around? I mean, you're in Japan on a beach. You've been to Italy. Have you enjoyed that aspect of it, being able to see the world through basketball?
Yeah, I mean, it's been nuts. Everywhere I go, like when I was in the EuroLeague, we played in Athens. We played in Russia. We've played everywhere. And every time there's a moment when you're stretching for like the shoot around where you're like, I'm in the middle of Russia right now. Like, what the heck is going on? Or like in Greece, they still play in the old Olympic arena that the Olympics were for basketball. Yeah. So like I'm sitting in there and I'm like, dang, it's the same court that all those superstars played at. I'm like, this is just an experience, and it's you have to try to take a break and enjoy it, because a lot of times you try to live life as usual and you just can't. You have to realize where you are and try to experience it. So it's been good.
Yeah, Doug's over there acting like he's never gone anywhere. Doug, come on. He doesn't like to talk about this. Doug went to North Korea with Dennis Rodman So yeah, Doug has had his own adventures that the game of basketball has taken him around the world, right?
That trumps everything I've done.
No, you know, that's why I say, Jack, like a kid from Seattle, Washington, I'd find myself like when I was there and, you know, I've been to Malaysia and basketball has taken me to Europe when I was a rookie and different stuff. And you're right. You sit there for a moment and you just go, wow, man, you know, I'm a kid from Illinois. I'm a kid from Seattle. Yeah. And this little orange leather ball has taken me around the globe. It's mind blowing a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's also how weird that playing basketball has put me in a situation where in a time like this, where everything is going to the heck and everything's going bad, that I'm okay. You know, I'm blessed enough that I'm able to be all right now. And I've hit up a lot of people on Twitter that I've seen going through, and I try to help them in ways that I can, but it's just such a blessing that how much this sport can help you. And it's just incredible.
Now, Jack, I want to hit you on this. Early in your career, you did play for Utah, and you did play with Rudy Gobert. He's kind of like, actually, to be honest with you, I think when it's all written in the end, Rudy Gobert and whatever his role in this will actually be looked at pretty heroic, as opposed to how he's looked at now, which is, you know, the guy who may have passed on the coronavirus to one of his teammates. And but like, you know, Rudy a little bit, I assume. What is your take on him and sort of the way that this whole thing has kind of played out over the last few weeks?
I mean, I think it's just been so unfair, because Rudy was actually a really good friend of mine. Was there when I was in Utah. We hung out a lot. I mean, we got dinner a bunch of times and hung out, played video games all the time. And he's an unbelievably nice guy, and he's really caring, and he's really kind. But he makes jokes. But I mean, you remember when I was in the Kings? I make jokes now. I've made jokes for the last 30 minutes, you know. And it's like. And the way this virus works is it's almost impossible to pinpoint where it started and originating. And it's even more impossible and unfair to pass any blame on anyone for unknowingly having it and things like that. Then he followed it up and donated $1 million to help.
Yeah.
I mean, that should have immediately erased all blame, right? Like it's just odd that, I mean, people like to point out scapegoats, you know, and they like to point at one person and like to try to throw a lot of blame at them. And I think Rudy was unfortunately the one that they did that to. I mean, somehow the Lakers got away with having two people, and those names were never released. So it's just unfair sometimes with who gets the short stick. And Rudy's a fantastic guy, and he's really fun to be around. And I just think that he just obviously joking can go too far, but obviously he meant nothing bad way.
Yeah, it depends on what locker room you're in. That joking can go really far, really bad, really fast. Mm-hmm. When Jack Cooley isn't on the floor, I know you're on social media. What are the things that you like to do that bring you joy?
There's a lot. I mean, there's a couple things. I'd say eating good food is really enjoyable. Yeah, unfortunately.
What's your favorite food?
Oh man, steak, but sushi. Sushi's coming up there a lot, because we went to Nobu in Tokyo, and oh my god, that's just sushi here is just different. And then I like to fish a lot, and there's good fishing here. I've gotten invited out, but during the season, you know, these fishing trips, the good ones are like 9-hour all day like events. So it's not like you can on an off day. They shouldn't be like, hey, did you rest? You're like, no, I was in the middle of the ocean fishing for 9 hours. The coach is gonna be like, you're an idiot.
What?
Yeah. So I'm trying to get more into that now that it's canceled. And I don't know, we'd like to play some board games and video games together. So just fun stuff.
Okay.
You know, not too crazy.
You know, you can invite her into the screen. She can come and say hi if you want.
Honey, you
want
to come say hi? You want to?
In pajamas.
Okay. She's in pajamas, I was told. So.
Yeah, but so are we. I mean,
they can't see. No, they can't see you if you come over here. You can put a shirt on.
Yeah. Oh, Jack.
Uh-oh.
She Jack, has one.
I'm Jack, I haven't worn pants in like 4 weeks.
Hey, you saw me. Hey, Jack, that's way more information than I needed from Ham, by the way.
The U.S. government told you to please put on pants when you go check your mail, so I'd make sure everyone follows that, and I suggest they do.
Yeah,
and that's sunshades right. for the hamster. I got to wear shades when Ham goes shorts. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's right. So, Jack, you know, we brought up Rudy Gobert, but also I don't know. Did you see that Trevor Booker announced his retirement?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Wait. Hey, you want to come say
hi? Yeah, you want to come say hi? Come say
come
hi.
On.
Come say hi.
Oh, hello. Hi.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hey, Jack's hi. Better half.
Here, see.
Hey, Jack's hi. Better half. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Yeah, definitely she the better just... half.
Oh, kidding. She just said that. Oh,
wow. Out sometimes loud. The truth hurts. We talked about this. Hey,
it does.
I'm just kidding.
I mean, it's true.
I'm kidding.
That's okay. Awesome. Okay, so you guys were supposed to get married this summer. So why don't you tell us what's happening with that because of all of this mess that the world is in?
Yeah, unfortunately, we had to change our wedding to next summer of 2021 because of everything that's going on. And we just felt like it was safer because we have a bunch of friends coming in from out of town, a lot of older people coming to our wedding. So we didn't want to like risk someone getting sick. So we just made it to next summer, which kind of stinks for us. But I mean, in the long run, it will be better and we'll be married. So yeah, it's okay.
It'll be fine. We're just going to get it
done. We're just going to get married sometime this summer, like at the courthouse or something. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Jack said he's enjoying Japan. How about yourself?
Oh my gosh, we are very, very lucky. We are on a beautiful island. So I am loving life. The beach is literally across the street. So I love it here. The people are so nice and so welcoming. And I don't know, I love it. I don't want to go home yet.
Yeah. You know, eventually, Doug, we're going to have to get Jackie on this too. So we can have Jackie Christie on the pod. So we
yeah,
can
have we'll like have this. To. We'll have to hook that up. We'll have to hook
reality
that up.
Reality TV in. Star Jackie Christie. That's
we'll
right.
They just bring them all in, man. I'm with
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Have like and a then double we'll date.
Leave, and then they all just talk.
Exactly.
There we go.
Yeah. Well, it was nice to meet you guys. Oh.
Wait, hang on. One more question. One more question.
Okay.
How much have you enjoyed the basketball adventure that he is on and getting to see these different places and go around the world and you know, watch him play against, you know, whether it's Italy or yeah. in the Bundesliga or, you know, it's an amazing adventure.
Yeah, it is really cool. This is my first year living with him. So last year I was still working and I would just visit him on spring break, winter break, and because I was a teacher, so I would just come on my breaks, and it was so cool to be like, I'm going to Italy for winter break, and my students would be like, what? And it was really cool. Like everywhere we've been is such a cool experience, and he's always loved every single team he's played for. So, and everyone's so nice. And I was with him when he was on the Kings too, and I would still fly out like multiple weekends in a month, and that was such a cool experience. So I love following. I love this life. The basketball
very,
life, I guess.
Very appreciative of our blessings.
That's
yes,
right.
Very, very, very
no doubt.
Yeah. Yes.
Sweet.
So, yeah.
No, that's awesome. It seems like it's a good adventure for you guys, especially as a young couple, like getting to explore the world together and you know, get to see all this amazingness that is the world around you. So,
hey, Jack, have you guys tried the sushi that if you do not cut it properly, it will kill you?
No, I think, isn't that the blowfish?
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah,
it is a blowfish.
I haven't I haven't tried it, but I'm just asking. I mean, come on, Ham, you're laughing at me. It's a question, man. I mean, Jack is adventurous, okay?
It is. I'm not, I mean, I would, I don't know. No, I've never tried it.
Don't start stuttering.
I know. I've never tried.
She's
just
it.
Like, you want to.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
They sell it at the one down the street.
Wait, they do?
Yeah, I saw it on the last page. Yeah.
Maybe we'll try it just for you.
Oh. Yeah.
There you go. Go around the world trying all the dangerous food.
Yeah.
<there you go. laughs> Awesome. All right. Well, hey, we don't want to keep you guys all day. You guys are, you know, again, it's late here. Well, it's almost 8:30 here p.m. But you guys are like in the middle of the day. You need to go out and enjoy the sunshine. But like, how long are you guys going to be there? When do you guys expect to come home? How is this all going to work out for you guys since you are kind of like abandoned in China? I mean, not in China, in Japan. My bad.
It's okay.
It happens. Yeah. Usually all our friends make the same mistake. Yeah. You know? But we don't know yet because we just need to see. Because here right now, we're not really in lockdown. And this, the United States is just keeps getting pushed back and back. And I mean, we miss our family, but when we go home, we have to quarantine ourselves for 2 weeks anyways. Going through an airport's probably the most dangerous place on earth right now, almost. Mm-hmm. So it's just, we're very comfy.
Taking like day by day,
the
honestly.
The team is very courteous to keep letting us stay in the apartments. And they're like that we're here and we're staying safe. So everything's going to be, I think we're just going to feel it out. We'll probably reassess beginning of May.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jack is not trying. He's not trying to come back. I hear you on the beach in Japan. Yeah, I would be like, chilling too.
I know.
It's good.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, hey, that's gonna do it for this edition of the Purple Talk podcast on NBC Sports California. The Coolies have joined us, which is amazing. Soon to be Coolies. Yes. So we'll just like wrap it up there. But yeah, thanks so much for joining us. It's great to see you, and of course. You know, Sacramento, whatever you've done, Jack, you go around everywhere. You're going around the world being everyone's fan favorite. And I don't know how you've mastered the art of it, but I hope you get to do it until your sneakers fall off, man.
Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you all the secrets because then you could do it and then I lose my charm.
No.
You got to keep a couple.
Hey, just so you know, that's not happening, Jack. You can tell him whatever you want. That ain't happening, baby.
That ain't happening. 5'11", man. It ain't happening. You can't teach tall, Jack. You can't teach tall.
That's true. That's right.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us. And, again, you guys take care out there. Be safe.
All right. Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye-bye.